Tonight's about America. Tonight's about, we're talking about, give me that old-time religion. We start out in Sunday school hour teaching on, give me an old-time family. Give me an old-time family. And then Sunday morning we preached on, give me an old-time church. Tonight I want to preach on, give me an old-time America. Give me an old-time America. It's good enough for me. The more the family and the more the church and more this country wants to modernize, the more I feel like we have to go back to the old past, folks. We need to go back. We need to go discover and undig and move back into place some ancient landmarks that have been moved. We're going to talk about America, and I'm praying for revival in America. I don't just give a lip service to that. I don't just say that. I do it. I've never said this publicly, and maybe I shouldn't. But I keep a piece of sackcloth in my office. And there's times where I'll just go sit in some sackcloth and pray for America. To me, it's serious, folks. It's not a game. Our country's not going the right way. It's going the wrong way. We've clucked our tongue and shook our heads and oohed and awed about everything that's happened. I think we've done everything but pray. I think we've done everything but really pray. I want to see revival come to America. Give me that old-time America. It's good enough for me. Let me read 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now I've got you in John chapter number 14, and we're going to begin in verse number 12. John chapter 14 and verse number 12. And I want to talk to you tonight about a blessed member of the Trinity that I believe is the agent of action when it comes to this matter of bringing revival. John chapter 14 and verse number 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Now Jesus is getting ready to leave, folks, so he gives them some instruction in verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about, on this subject, how to bring revival to America. How to bring revival to America. Let's bow our heads forward of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're not going to be here very much longer. This is a short message. We're not going to go into a long introduction. We're not going to travel back and forth a lot through the pages of your word. We're going to just jump right on this, get right to the point. But Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would do something supernatural in our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that you would deepen what I believe is already a burden that many people in this room carry about America. I pray, Lord, that for some in this room, they will begin to get a burden for our country. And Lord, we want to see revival. Wouldn't it be great, Lord, that before you came, we could see one more great awakening, one more nationwide revival come to America. Lord, I pray as we approach this very sacred subject, that here, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would assist me as I preach. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I love to read history, and I love to read about America. I've got a wonderful book here, and this is a volume two. I got this book, picked up this book, the original book, several months ago, probably over a year ago, and it was by the name of Patriot Hearts. It's really a collection of words from both former and current patriots. It's put together by Colonel William T. Coffey, Sr. I wrote Colonel Coffey a letter. I was so touched by his first book, I just sat down. You know, so many times we read something, we're touched by it, but we fail to show appreciation. There's somebody on the other end that put a lot of time into this, so I wrote him a letter and thanked him. He wrote me a letter back. Dear Pastor Ross, thank you for sharing with me. Yeah. Oh, by the way, when I wrote him a thank you letter, I also sent him a Ron Allen's book on Grace Will Lead Me Home. Thank you for sharing with me your book Grace Will Lead Me Home. In the coming days, I will certainly read this book. He says, my second book is my small contribution to you, to your students, and their efforts under your leadership to learn about our great country. Very respectfully, Bill Coffey. And what I told him in my letter was, out of his first book, I many, many times come to the pulpit and opening assembly and use one of the quotes about our country. I want our young people to care about America. I want our young people to be patriotic. I want our young people, by the way, every single morning, you know what? The Supreme Court can huff and puff and try to blow this place down, but I don't care what laws are passed. Every morning, the students of Blessed Hope Baptist School will stand and put their hand over their heart and they'll pledge to that flag. And they're not going to leave out under God either. And then when they get done pledging to that flag, they're going to turn and pledge to the Christian flag. You know what? That's the country that we happen to reside in on this earth. But that's the country that we're truly a citizen of. Amen. That's the flag of the country of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we pledge allegiance to the Word of God. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. And I lost the words to it. Help me out, kids. I will make it a lamp unto my... No, I really do this every morning. I do. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know what? If there's ever a book we ought to pledge allegiance to, it's this book. This is what Christian education is about. This is what Christianity is all about. I think Christianity makes you want to be a good citizen of the country that you reside in. I think Christianity makes you long for a country that you haven't yet seen, but that you're a citizen of. And then I think that being a Christian, it makes you long to obey the Bible. I want to see a revival come to America. I believe that a revival can come to America. I'm going to tell you how revival can come to America. I'm not going to draw this out or build a lot of suspense. Something occurred to me one day when I was praying. Watch this, when I was praying for revival. I pray that revival comes to my own home. I pray that revival comes to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But I pray also that revival comes to America. And I was praying through those things. Oh God, keep the home of Jerry and Cheryl Ross revived for you. Keep us on fire for you, Lord. Don't let us get caught up in all the things of the world. Don't let us get off track and get our mind on all the materialistic things and forget, Lord, that what this thing's all about. And then I prayed for America, or I'm sorry, for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I prayed for our church. And then I prayed for our country. And God spoke to me one time when I was praying about America and praying for revival to come to America. Oh, God, what's it going to take? Lord, God, how can revival come? Lord, show me, how can revival come? Let me give you the answer that I got that day. I think the Holy Spirit of God shared it with me. He simply said this: you are America. You are America. Did you hear me? You are America. Lord, bring revival to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And the Holy Spirit said, you are Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You are Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, help revival come to the family. My family, you are part of the family. You are a member of the family. Now, folks, listen to me. I've only got a certain amount of control as far as what goes in the hearts of even those in my own family, but I have full control what goes on in my heart. I have only the power of influence to come to the pulpit and try to stir and try to point you to Jesus and try to get you excited about this idea of getting on the gospel train and riding it hard to the end. But the honest truth is, folks, I can't control anything that happens in the hearts of people, but I can control what happens in my heart. And I read the newspaper and I read the articles and I see what's happening in all of the areas of our country and I think, what can I do? And all of a sudden, if this verse comes, if my people which are called by my name, if my people which are called by my name. You see, folks, I think we're wanting revival to hit America. But I'm not sure we want revival to hit us. I think it's a lot easier to pray for God to send revival to America than it is to pray that revival would come to me. Now, I'm going to give you what I believe is an accurate definition of revival. I wouldn't argue with somebody if they had a different definition. And you may say, Brother Jerry, I think there's a better definition, and there well may be. But I settled this years ago. I believe I know what revival is. I believe I know when it happens. I believe it can happen individually. Someone said, well, I went through all my years. You know, you hear preachers, older preachers, I've pastored for years and years and never seen a genuine revival. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, what are you talking about? You're in full control whether or not you see a genuine revival in your lifetime or not, because it can happen in you. What do you mean you've never seen a revival? What is that saying? Because revival's going to start with every individual. Maybe we ought to say, no, I've never seen a genuine revival. You know why? Because I never let it happen in here. You see, I can't help whether or not Blessed Obanda Church ever has a revival, but I can help whether or not Jerry Ross has a revival. I can't help whether or not a revival touches America, but I am America. I'm America. You're America. See, I want to see revival sweep the land. How about if it just first swept your heart? See, I just think I'm an American. I'm America. I'm as much America as anybody. I can't control if America as a whole has a revival, but this part of America can have a revival. This piece of America can have a revival. I can have a revival. And I believe revival. Let me give you the definition. I believe revival. True revival. I'm not talking about being saved. I hope you're already saved. I'm talking about revival. I'm talking about a stirring. I believe that true revival. True revival. By the way, let me just give you this. You know, you read the old books, and boy, I tell you what, I've read everything I can lay on these hands on when it comes to revival. I think I've read everything that anybody's ever given me, anything I've ever found on revival. I'm hungry for revival. But you read the old timers and you read what they write, and you know what they talk about when they talk about true revival, unusual revival? They use a phrase called, we had a Holy Ghost revival. We had a Holy Ghost revival. By the way, good Baptist people, don't let the charismatic steal from you the blessed part of the Trinity by the name of the Holy Spirit of God. Don't be afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that part of God that lives inside of you, and He's in you. And what do they mean, Brother Jerry, when they talk about having a Holy Spirit revival? I believe the Holy Spirit, one of the reasons He was left on this earth was to try to encourage and orchestrate revival within each of our hearts. When do you need revival? What is revival, Brother Jerry? Let me give you the definition. I believe revival happens in a person's heart when they repair a broken relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Are you listening to me? When they repair a broken relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. You see, if you become filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you will know what it is to know revival, to experience revival. You see, we have within us a part of God. Boy, I want you to get this. I want this to sink down in your hearts. Oh yeah, Brother Jerry, I know that. I know you know it here, but I want you to know it here. Inside of you lives a part of the triune God. He's not there just because He doesn't have anywhere else to be. He's not there just to seal you to the day of redemption, although He certainly does that. He's there because He wants to communicate with you. He wants to teach you some things. He wants to do some things in your heart. He's there for some specific purposes. Let me give you a few of these, all right? This is kind of introduction. The message is going to be very brief. Let me give you an introduction. What's the Holy Spirit there for inside of me? Are you listening? The Holy Spirit is there to provide me with divine comfort. Jesus said in verse number 16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. There's not a person in this room that's gone through a hard, difficult time. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've gone through a personal tragedy that you could not stand and testify to the fact that the Holy Spirit is the greatest comforter of all. People will come to you and shake your hands. People will write you notes. People will say encouraging words. But let me tell you something. When the presence of the Holy Spirit of God envelops you and carries you and gives you grace to do what you don't think you'd be able to do, you'll know about what it means to be touched by the divine comforter. The Holy Spirit's inside of me. You know what one of his jobs is? To give me divine comfort. John chapter 16, verse number 26, we didn't read that, but it also says this, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit also provides me with divine instruction. Divine instruction. I have a tutor. A personal tutor when I read the Bible, and his name is the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. One of the most exciting ways to read the Bible is to bow your heads before you read the Bible and say, Lord, I want to understand your word. Now, Holy Spirit of God, you live inside of me, and you're there to teach me. The Bible says you will teach me all things. So as I'm reading the Bible, Holy Spirit, please open it up to me. Make it real to me. Speak to me through your words. Help me to understand things I've never understood before. You know why the Bible's not exciting to most Christians? You read it by yourself. You read it by yourself. You're supposed to be reading it with the tutor. You're supposed to have a divine companion, a divine instructor that helps you. You say, Brother Jerry, you preached out of this portion of Scripture, or you preached last week and you read a portion of Scripture. I think, wow, I never saw that before. Well, I sit in services all the time where I hear do the same thing. A preacher preaches on a subject. I go, wow, I never saw that before. Well, let me tell you how you can see a whole lot more than you are. That's get the divine tutor involved when you read the Scriptures. Now, the Holy Spirit's inside of you. What's He want to do? Comfort you. What does He want to do? Teach you as you're reading the Bible. And even tonight, while you're listening to the Bible preach, He's trying to teach you some things. He's trying to bring some things to your remembrance, you see. Number three, the Holy Spirit provides me with divine direction. Luke 4:1, and Jesus, being filled with the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Acts 8:29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. You know, one of the great things about having the Holy Spirit of God and having a fixed right relationship is that He's always giving you direction. He's telling you where to go. He's telling you what to do. He's making sure you're in the right place at the right time. I'm not going to retell the illustration, but I gave you the illustration the other day about when I was on the bus route, how God directed me to a certain apartment. And listen, folks, that shouldn't be an unusual thing. That should be a normal thing for Christians. The Holy Spirit says, go down this road. You ought to go down this road. The Holy Spirit of God says, listen, make this visit. You ought to make this visit. The Holy Spirit of God keeps bearing witness with you about an individual. You ought to pick up the phone and call him or go see him if possible. He's trying to direct us. He's trying to get us where we need to be. There's some Ethiopian eunuch right now in our community reading the Bible but not understanding it, wanting to be saved but not understanding how. And I believe that the Holy Spirit of God is trying to get soul winners, trying to get Christians to these people. But you know what? We've got a broken relationship with the Holy Spirit. We don't hear Him very well. And therefore, we don't get direction very well or take direction very well. I went to see Brother Cinders Friday morning. And I got into his room there, and I began to talk to him. I pulled a chair up to his bed, and we were talking and conversing and sharing some things. And I turned around, and he had somebody in the room with him there, a 75-year-old, my brother Abel, 75-year-old man, 40 years as a truck driver. He was in the hospital. He had problems getting one of his feet to heal, his diabetic. He also was on kidney dialysis, 75 years old, not in very good health. He said, I've been in the hospital for 2 months, was out for 2 weeks, and here I am back again. He said, I'm having some problems. We began to chat and talk. I finally looked over him and said, what's your name? He said, my name's William. William Crane. I said, William Crane. I said, William, let me ask you something. I said, are you ready to die? Don't you think it's important to be ready to die? He said, I think it is. I said, what about heaven? He said, I want to go there. I said, have you ever been born again? Have you ever been saved? No, sir. He said this. Watch it. He said this. He said, no, but I've thought a lot about it lately, and I'd like to do it. I just don't know how. Amen. Amen. There wasn't no arm twisting. Wasn't no arguing. Here's a man. I've wanted to for some time, but I just don't know how. That sounds like the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, up there with the Bible, reading it. He said, do you understand what you're in? How shall I accept some man show me? Get up here. Tell me what I need to know. I want to understand this. All across this community, there's people like that God is dealing with their hearts and getting them ready. And He's trying to direct Christians to these people, but we're not getting there. Why? Because we have a broken relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Brother Jerry, how's that get broken? We're getting to that. The Holy Spirit also provides me with divine power. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Brother Jerry, how come I go out every week and I knock doors and I witness? I never see anybody saved. I don't know. I don't know all the reasons. There could be a lot of reasons, but could I make a suggestion? How's your relationship with the Holy Spirit of God? You see, He provides you with divine power when things are right between you and the Holy Spirit of God. There's somebody living inside of you. How's your relationship with Him? I said, how's your relationship with Him? Now listen, you can live in the same house with somebody and have a broken relationship. The part of God can live inside of you and you can have a broken relationship. How is your relationship with the Holy Spirit of God? You see, I believe true revival is the repairing of a broken relationship between a child of God and the Holy Spirit of God. So how does this thing get broken? Well, let me give you the fifth thing that the Holy Spirit does. He provides, and there's more than I've given you on this list, but He does provide us with divine comfort, divine instruction, divine direction, divine power, but also the Holy Spirit provides me with divine correction. Divine correction. Yes, He does. Amen. Amen, Brother Jerry. Good night. How many times have I sat in the service, sat under the preaching of God's word, been reading my Bible, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit of God's all over me. Something said and it hits home. He's supposed to do that. John 16, verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go unto my Father. And ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now listen to me. What we do. Now let me just give you the whole message. What we do. We like the fact that the Holy Spirit is a comforter, and we want all that comfort. Man, when we need him, we want the comfort. And we like the fact even that he's a divine instructor. And boy, Brother Jerry, I'd like to have that. Yeah, it's fun. Man, I'd love to read the Bible, have it come alive. I'd love to be able to just read the scriptures and have truths jump out on me. I mean, you talk about sometimes how all of a sudden a verse will almost become like it's in neon, and it jumps off the page, and God teaches something. I'd like to have that. I'd like the Holy Spirit to comfort me. I'd like him to instruct me. I'd like him to direct me. Boy, I'd like to just get to know that the Holy Spirit's telling me to go to a certain street or a certain apartment or go call a certain person and go to that place and find out, yeah, there was a need there and I needed to be there at that time. I want that. Boy, that'd be great. I'd love to have divine power. I'd like to have power when I preach and power when I soul win. I'd like to have the Holy Spirit when I'm speaking with human words to speak in the heart of a person with the voice of God and empower those words and change a life. I'd like to have that. We want everything. We want everything that the Holy Spirit offers, except we don't want divine correction. Divine correction. We want everything but that. Watch this. How we respond to the divine correction of the Holy Spirit dictates and defines the kind of a relationship we have with him. See, here's the thing, folks. When the Holy Spirit comes to you and he begins to convict you and he begins to try to correct you, he's not against you, he's for you. He's trying to do something positive in your life. And what we do is we have the power to either listen to that or not listen to that. Let me give you some verses here. We can, as Christians, the Bible talks about, and this is a very biblical thing, we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We're instructed to grieve not the Spirit, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, Ephesians 4:30. Now, what's that mean? That, listen, you mothers and fathers know what that means. You go to one of your children and you tell them to do something, tell them to do something, tell them to do something, and they just refuse, and they're disobedient, and they're rebellious. And you know what? It grieves you in your heart. It grieves you in your heart. Some of you children, right now, you're a grief to your mama. You're a grief to your daddy. They feel like every time they have to tell you something to do, there's a war that has to happen. I mean, and then a lot of times they have to go to discipline. You think they like that? They don't want to do that. Man, it's a wonderful thing. It's a joyful thing to have an obedient child. It's a wonderful thing to just have to make a suggestion, not even give a command, just make a suggestion and have one of your children jump up. Why? Just because they know you wish for something to happen. They want to make it happen. Those are the kind of children that brings joy. And by the way, that's the kind of Christian that brings joy to the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, the Holy Spirit of God just whispers something, just suggests something. And yes, Lord, I want to do it. Here am I, send me. But what happens is we get into this battle against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes like he's coming right now in this service. And he begins to point his finger on sins in our life and things we have been unwilling to give up and fix in our life. And you know what? We want to sit there and get angry about it and puff up and fight against what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. And the Holy Spirit begins to become grieved. We ought to respond to him in a positive way. We ought to be somebody he has to wrestle with and fight with to get us to do every little single thing. But not only that, folks, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 warns us, quench not the Spirit. Not only can we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, we have our, by the way, 1 Thessalonians, I said, that's in 1 Thessalonians. That's a letter written to the church. Amen. Christian people can quench the Holy Spirit of God. What's that mean? Quench the Holy Spirit of God. Well, if you were to take one of these lamps, or you were to take a candle right here, light a candle, wet your fingers and psst. Quench the flame. Same word is found in Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What's that mean? Put them out. Extinguish them. Psst.
The Holy Spirit of God is trying to do a work in our life, and we don't. We just shut him down. We just close him down. And he's grieved for a while, and he gets to the point where he's tired of being grieved. And you know what? He comes to us in strength and strength of voice and strength of conviction. And we begin to be a grievance to him, and we begin to grieve him, and that voice gets lower and lower and lower and lower, and finally it just goes out. It just goes out. You know what? The Holy Spirit's tired of messing with us. No matter what he says, we don't do it anyway. Wait a minute. I'm talking about right here. Watch this. Watch it. I'm talking about right here in this room. There's Christians that in the last 12 months, you've never heard the Holy Spirit say one thing to you. Why? Why? Why haven't you heard him say anything to you? You have a broken relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. You know what? You know what revival is? Revival is the repairing of that broken relationship. So Brother Jerry, you're kidding me. There's Christians, I guarantee there's Christians were. You know, when we talk about the things and the relationship with the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit wants to do, you have no idea what we're talking about. And you're saved. You used to know what we're talking about. It used to be real. I preached this message in Brother Schindler's church. Good night. This has been a message like this, not this exact message. Brother Schindler's place, this has been probably 10 years ago. After we had the service, had an invitation, the altars were filled, and Brother Schindler got up and he said, I'm going to ask for testimonies. I feel like God's done something unusual. Watch this. Man stood up, good man. Brother Schindler told me a faithful man, one of the men that works in the church, one of the active men in the church. He stood up and he said, during the message tonight, he said, for the first time in 2 years, I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit of God speak to my heart. I didn't realize what I had done. I'd been grieving him for some time, and then I quenched him. And you know what? I've just been trying to do this on my own. I've had no contact with the Holy Spirit of God. I went to an altar, and I begged for the Holy Spirit God to speak to my heart once again. I wanted to fix that relationship. And he said, I heard the voice of God. He said, this is like getting saved all over again. It's not getting saved all over again. You know what it is? It's repairing a damaged relationship. Brother Jerry, I'd like the Holy Spirit's comfort. Well, you know what? You know what comes with the comfort? Correction. Brother Jerry, I want the Holy Spirit's instruction. You know what comes with that? Correction. I want direction, Brother Jerry. I want God to use me. Well, you know what? That comes with correction. I want divine power, Brother Jerry. Then you're going to have divine correction. You see, and the Holy Spirit of God is active in our churches. Brother Ed, I think he's active in our churches. I think he's trying to do what he can, but we've just got a generation of Christians that don't like to hear the word no. And they don't like to be told they're wrong. We want to just kind of cover ourselves with this phylactery, this facade of spirituality, but inside we are empty and dead spiritually. You know why? Because we've grieved the Holy Spirit of God. If he spoke to you, by the way, is there anything the Holy Spirit asked you to do tonight that you wouldn't be willing to do? The Holy Spirit of God spoke to your heart and wanted you to come to an altar of prayer. Would you sit there and stand there again in your stubbornness like you have for years and just refuse to go? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Many times I feel myself drifting away or getting cold or getting stubborn. Holy Spirit of God's voice starts getting quieter and quieter. Holy Spirit, what are you doing? Don't you want my comfort? Don't you want my instruction? Don't you want my direction? Don't you want my power? Don't you want to be used? Then you're going to have to accept my correction, son. You have to accept my correction. I think revival is being held back because we have a generation of Christians that have grieved the Holy Spirit to the point where they've quenched him. I don't have time to go there, but let me tell you something, folks. There is a third step. You can not only grieve the Holy Spirit and quench the Holy Spirit, you can tempt the Holy Spirit of God. Ananias and Sapphira did it in Acts chapter number 5. You get to the point where, you know what, we refuse to be moved, to budge. We just hold on to our sin, refuse to admit it, get stubborn. God can just say, you know what, maybe the best way I can glorify my name through your life is through your death. It's just time to come home. You don't want to bear fruit. You don't want to budge. You don't want to be used. Maybe it's just time for you to come home. That's what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. Peter asked, why did you tempt the Holy? Why tempt ye the Spirit of God? Why tempt ye the Spirit of God? Are you listening to me? I think God has done a wonderful thing by giving us part of His triune being and letting that very person of God reside inside of us. But folks, He's not there to be ignored. He's not there to be a resident. He's there to be the president. He wants to speak to us. He wants us to listen to Him. He wants to give us all the things that He's been sent to give us. And what's our problem? I think our problem is we want everything sometimes but the correction of Almighty God. Brother Jerry, can I see revival? Yep, you can see it tonight. Can revival come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church? I don't know. I am Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Are you Blessed Hope Baptist Church? I suppose then revival could come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I want to see revival touch America. I am America. I am America. I can't decide what the other 260 million can do, but I know this. One out of that 260 million can taste revival. And then maybe two. And then maybe three. And then maybe five. And then maybe 10. Maybe a whole church gets a vision. Maybe a whole church gets understanding. Maybe a whole community is touched and affected. Why? Because we realize that something's broken between us and our relationship with the Spirit of God. And He wants to fix that. You want to see a Holy Ghost revival? You better make contact and fix some things between you and the Holy Ghost. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Nobody's looking around. I care about America. I love America. I want to see revival come to America. I can't control what America does, but I can control what Jerry Ross does. Heavenly Father, I pray You speak to hearts. We need an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. Old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. Give me that old-time America. Oh, we all look back and talk about the way it was. But Lord, it could be the way it could be too. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? That's a great question, by the way. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Hey, Brother Jerry, He's not saying anything. Why? Why? Well, I'd do something if the Lord spoke to me. Why isn't He? Why doesn't He? There's something broke. Remember when you sat in a service like you sat in tonight, and man alive, the fire of God would fill your heart and soul? Remember when somebody gets saved and tears would run down your face? Remember when we'd announce a revival meeting and you couldn't wait, you had it marked on the calendars and counted the days down to it? Remember when somebody got baptized and you sat out there and it was like being baptized all over again yourself? Remember when you used to have answers to your prayers? Remember when the Bible used to live and you couldn't wait to get into it every day? What happened? What happened? Remember when God used to use you to win other people to Christ? Remember when God used to direct you in almost a supernatural way and you just sat back sometimes and just be in awe of the fact that God used you? God did that. God let you be a part of that. What happened? Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that You'd stir something deep within us. Dear Holy Spirit of God, I don't believe that You're the problem. God's never the problem. I believe the Holy Spirit of God is faithful to do what He's been sent to do. And dear Holy Spirit of God, You've been faithful in my life when I've let You. I pray, Lord, that You'd do something during this invitation.